is what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
If somebody like you with common sense could run this country, we would have a lot less problems.
Now, back to the Lisa Wexler Show on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Welcome back to the show. Joining us again for another conversation is Jamie Stevenson, former first select woman in Darien for many terms, a Republican who was endorsed by the Republican Party and just announced this morning that she also received the endorsement of the Independent Party. Jamie, hello. Welcome back to the show. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's always a pleasure. So, Jamie, tell me a little bit, why were you seeking the endorsement of the Independent Party? What about that is important to your campaign?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for asking. So I'm not telling you anything you and your listeners don't already know. We are in such a polarizing political environment, both here in Connecticut and across our country. And there are a large number of voters in our district, you know, whose values really no longer align with either the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. And so those people may be registered as independents. They might be unaffiliated voters. So it's important for us to show that me as a candidate and our campaign represent a common sense, pragmatic option for voters this November. You know, everybody deserves to have a voice. So we are I am the candidate that offers a new voice for people who feel like they haven't had one in a long time.
Were you the only person in the 4th Congressional District to seek the independent endorsement, because, you know, there's been huge controversy about the gubernatorial? In other words, did Jim Himes or did someone from another unknown or from the Independent Party themselves seek the endorsement?
There was one other candidate at the gathering last night, Brian Merlin, who I believe was in the process to run for Congress in the last cycle.
I see.
You know, Brian's a very interesting man, very passionate about making Narcan widely available to people across the state of Connecticut. And I really support his activism on that issue.
So Jamie, we're chatting with Jamie Stevenson, 203-333-3942. Why do you think that your candidacy in particular attracted the independent endorsement? In other words, what about you isn't doctrinaire?
So my record of service actually evidences the fact that I have been a successful leader for the last 12 years, able to bring together people from all parties to get things done for our residents, our businesses, both in my town of Darien, within our Council of Governments, and in statewide organizations where I had the privilege of serving as a leader. So my record speaks for itself, and I'm very, very proud of my record.
So last night, Jamie Stevenson, President Biden gave a speech, and I'm going to play for you. I'm not going to paraphrase it in his own words, what he had to say about the Republican Party. It's just a few seconds. And then I would really like your thoughts as an endorsed member of the Republican Party here in Connecticut on what the president had to say last night. Let's play this. It's just a little bit. Let's see. I'm going to try my best to being techie here. Hold on. Here we go.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
So, and I was listening to the speech, Jamie, and he definitely drew a distinction right away between Republicans and MAGA Republicans. Where are you?
So the Democrats really have nothing else that they can run on this election cycle. So they want to keep the ghost of Donald Trump alive through the midterm elections in November. But listen, when Republicans hear that message, actually when I think reasonable people hear that message, there is such tremendous disappointment from our leader, from the leader of the free world, the president of the United States that we all look up to be that, you know, the leader for all people, as he said he was going to be in his inaugural address. And what a disappointment it's been for me and for so many other people that he has become the divider in chief, quite frankly, instead of the uniter, the moderate that he campaigned to be. So he's just now saying overtly what people have felt for a long time, and it will be consequential for the Democrats in November.
So, in other words, so let me just parse to that a little bit. We're chatting with Jamie Stevenson. So do you not think that there is a split in today's Republican Party between the MAGA pro-Trump Republicans and other Republicans?
I think there is the same spectrum of political ideology that exists within the Democrat Party also exists within the Republican Party. It's just that the Democrats can't help themselves but highlight the fact that there are people in our party who support the policies of former President Donald Trump.
If you get elected to Congress, Jamie Stevenson, are you going to be somebody who votes the way your party leader instructs you to vote?
I'm so glad that you asked me that question. I get that question all the time on the campaign trail. You know, Lisa, I've had my two careers. I was a bond analyst for Standard & Poor's, actually three careers. I served my town as first selectman for a decade, and I raised my five children. I'm not going to Washington to toe the line for anyone. I'm going to Washington to finally be a common sense voice for the people of the 4th Congressional District. Right now, they have a congressman who has been a very loyal comrade to Democrat Party leadership. And you're going to see a tacit rejection of that thought in November. So I am my own person. Anybody that's ever worked with me will tell you that I am an independent thinker and not afraid to share my thoughts and ideas.
And what about if the cost of that is not getting certain plum committee assignments? Because that's the reality of freshman, non-senior, even senior congressmen. You get to D.C., and it's very much you play with me, and I will give you bragging rights when you come home.
So isn't that exactly why it's time to elect new people, fresh ideas, to go to Washington, that very statement that you made? So I know that when I go to Washington and I begin to build those trusted relationships that are so important to being able to get things done for the people of Connecticut and for our country, that Republicans and Democrats alike will see that I'm there to be a team player. So at the moment, I'm not worried about that.
You know, I will tell you, Jamie Stevenson, I had a really good time. I always like to read people's bios and find the surprises I didn't know. I had no idea that your maternal grandparents are Italian.
Yes, yes. On my mother's side of the family, 100% Italian. You bet.
And you don't look it, whatever that means. Yeah, whatever that means, whatever it means to look Italian, because if you go to Italy, it doesn't mean anything. You can have green-eyed blondes and you can have, you know, you can have brunettes with brown eyes also. But I did not know that about your heritage. I thought it was fascinating. You know, if you have grandparents with an Italian passport, there are, for some people, they can claim Italian double citizenship. Did you know that?
I actually did know that. I have some friends that are going through that process right now, and that would be amazing to be able to do. It's not as easy as it sounds.
But, no, it's never that easy. But it's a cool thing. I think it's a cool thing anyway.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
And did you grow up hearing Italian in your own home? Do you speak a little Italian?
We only heard Italian from my grandparents. They were of that generation, Lisa, that they came here to America to be American.
Yeah, mine too.
So
mine too.
You know, and we've really sort of lost sight of the power of why people came here legally to become citizens of the United States, to be part of this wonderful melting pot that we call America. So, no, they didn't. That was not a priority to teach the grandkids Italian. Unfortunately, I really wish I knew the language.
And I will share that my grandparents came. One came from Minsk, which is now Belarusia, and the other one came from Lithuania, but they were fleeing Jewish pogroms, you know, at the turn of the last century. They were, and after the Russian Revolution, my grandfather escaped. And when I went to college, I learned Russian, and I came back to my grandparents' home because they both lived to very old ages. My grandmother died when she was 106 and a half. And I came home, and they had these beautiful thick accents, and they always spoke to us in English. But I said, Papa, I want to practice my Russian with you. And he said to me, I'll never forget this, Jamie. He said to me, I forgot Russian the day I left Russia. That was it for him. And that was his way of saying, that was never my country. This is my country. That was his way. You know, and he was fleeing a country that was persecuting him. But, I mean, that was their mentality. We are here with both feet in the ground. Done. Done and done. All right, let's go to the calls. You're chatting with Jamie Stevenson. If you've got a question or comment, Sarah from Fairfield. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much, Lisa, for taking my call.
Okay, sure.
So this question is for Jamie. And, Jamie, thank you so much for being on. I just wanted to know where you stand on Roe v. Wade and women's rights in general.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah. I appreciate you calling in and listening today. So I hope we have a couple of minutes to talk about this.
I'm going to give you as much time as you need. Go ahead, Jamie. Go ahead.
Great. First of all, we really can no longer boil this discussion down into the political talking points of pro-life and pro-choice. It is a much more complicated decision than that for any woman that has to face it. You know, fortunately, that's not something that my husband and I have ever had to make a decision about. But as a principled Republican that believes strongly in freedom and individual liberty, I can come to no other choice than to support a woman's right to make that decision on her own with the support of her family and her doctor. Having said that, I do believe in guardrails. I do not at all believe in abortions at any time, anywhere, for any reason. I think it's reasonable for a woman to have that choice up to 15 weeks or so, certainly in the case of rape and incest and if there's a medical necessity. Where I differ from the laws that are here in Connecticut, I do feel strongly that any woman who is not of adult age, there should be parental notification or notification to a caring adult in that youth life. It's a really serious decision. There's a lot of emotional ramifications in making that decision, and that young person really needs to have the support of a mature adult as they're going through it. So I very much appreciate that question. And if there's anything else you would like to know on that topic, I'm happy to share.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for the call. You know, I'm listening to you, Jamie, and I'm thinking about parental consent. And it just seems to me when we talk about parental consent for abortion, we're sort of missing the boat. It's too much of the Pandora's box already being opened. If that person didn't have a trusting adult somehow in their life and got pregnant, you know, yes, it's important, I think, to always have important decisions being discussed with, you know, hopefully your parent, but if it isn't going to be your parent, a loving, trusted adult. But by the time a kid finds out that she's pregnant and she's not of an age by definition in this conversation, we're talking about minors, it's already a scaring, petrifying thing because something has happened to her or she's engaged in some behavior that clearly wasn't under the supervision of a responsible adult to begin with. You know what I mean?
I definitely hear what you're saying. I'd like to make a distinction between the words parental consent and parental notification.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I think there's an important distinction there. And I truly believe, and I'm speaking from my heart as a mother of five children, four of whom are daughters, that, you know, yes, there is a lot that goes into building a trusting, loving relationship as a parent or as a caring adult. I'm keenly aware that not every child is blessed to have, a stable, loving home environment. But nonetheless, I do believe that every minor should have, likely has, someone that's in their close circle that they feel comfortable and trust that could be brought in to be part of that process.
Okay. You know, Jamie Stevenson, I'm curious to know, as a pro-choice Connecticut Republican, are you getting flack from within the Republican base of support for your stance on abortion here in the 4th District?
Certainly. There is a segment of the Republican population who are, you know, that's a very serious issue for them to be pro-life. But to be honest, Lisa, what I hear mostly across the district is that my beliefs are the same beliefs as the majority of the people here in the 4th Congressional District.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly what the polls show.
And I believe everybody has the right to believe and to act on their own beliefs. Like I said, I'm very, very much a personal liberty, individual freedom candidate.
You know, we just had a remarkable, I'm sure you didn't have a chance personally to listen to the show, but maybe someone in your staff did. We just had a remarkable couple, they live in Black Rock, come into the studio, Linda Bluestein and her husband Paul, because Linda has fallopian tube cancer, and she's been given a terminal diagnosis, and she's a very beautiful, active woman, still with all of her own mental faculties in her 70s, and her husband's a retired physician. And they're advocating for passing a law in Connecticut that would allow them to have more agency over their dying, something similar to that which has just been passed in Vermont. And, you know, at some point this is going to become a national conversation if it isn't already. And I'm wondering, Jamie Stevenson, since we're talking about choice and the spectrum of life, what do you think about that? What do you think about people being able to, with certain guardrails, be able to end their own lives if they have a terminally ill diagnosis?
Yeah, boy, is that a very difficult conversation as well. And I know that conversation has been had in the state legislature a few times now. You know, I should tell you that I do strongly support the ideas of federalism where states have the rights to make those decisions.
Okay. You think it should be left to the states?
I do, but let me qualify that, because in our previous conversation about a woman's right to choose, whether you supported the decision that was made in 1973 in Roe v. Wade, and if that was correctly decided from a constitutional perspective, this summer's decision in Dobbs that overturned Roe v. Wade, one of the issues for me is the idea that we have now created medical inequality for women across this country.
I agree with you, Jamie. I agree. And it's playing out in very ugly fact patterns that we're seeing in the newspapers every day. Yes.
That's right. And I would be very curious. I mean, there's no male equivalent to what we're talking about here. And I'm wondering what the outcome would have been if there had been something that impacted only men in our society. So, I see the conflict between, federal law and state law, but, you know, it's such a terrible, terrible thing for families and loved ones to live through painful and lengthy transition in life, death of their loved ones. So I need to be thoughtful on that issue, and I don't want to give you a quick answer, but let's talk about it again next
time. Because, you know, as you ascend to positions of national policy, it's not going to go away. We have an aging population, and this has been building from the bottom up for a very long time in many places. It's going to be very interesting to see how the United States handles this as a whole. Jamie Stevenson, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us today. Good luck in the campaign. Congratulations on being on two lines. And just for those who don't know, or who are we shouldn't take anything for granted as voters, it doesn't matter what party you're registered at. When you get in the ballot box, you get to vote for whoever you want on whatever line you want. You don't have to be a registered independent voter to vote independent. You don't have to be registered Republican to vote Republican. I say things that seem very obvious, but to some people, they may not be that obvious. When you get in the ballot box, you look at the names, you decide who you want to vote for, and that's it. So, but congratulations to you, Jamie, for your campaign. And next time I chat with you, it'll likely be after Election Day. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Lisa.
Thank you. Jamie Stevenson on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.